Welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt Leach on the other side of the glass. And you know what? In this abbreviated version, I thought we'd talk. Since I heard that I heard that Jordan Poole was doing Cameo. You know, that app where you could get a celebrity to say happy birthday or congratulations on your new job or whatever. If he's doing that, that should be. He's doing a hustle right now. So perhaps he's not coming back. You know? Maybe. I don't know. Only, let me say this. Only Charles Matthews is the one that announced that he was not, definitely not coming back. So that being said, I thought maybe we should look at their current ratings as in an NBA prospects.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I use Sports Illustrated.
Yep.
Why not? And their rankings in the top 100, you got 55 at 45, you got Iggy.
Mm-hmm. I figured he'd probably be the highest rated of the three.
And then at 55, Jordan Poole.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 60, you got Charles Matthews. Now, not bad. I said the top 100.
30 teams, two rounds, that's 60 picks.
Right.
So if, and of course, drafts never go along to where players are projected. It always goes, you know, differently. But at least right now, all three of them would be drafted.
Yeah. Yeah, you would
think. If it went according to those numbers. So we will see, obviously, as they go through the combine, those projections will change, those numbers will change. But it's good to see the three of them at least rated that high. You know, with any players that test the NBA waters, I think you have to, you almost have to assume that they're gone and then just feel lucky if you happen to get them back.
I don't think Coach Beilein's sitting, wait.
No.
I think he's doing what he needs to do, too.
And I think most fans need to take that approach, too. And we will take what we think. You know, the year where both Mo Wagner and DJ Wilson went, I think we expected both of them to go through the routine and then both of them to come back.
Right.
And DJ Wilson said, no, I'm staying.
No, he stayed.
So we, you know, now as this process has continued to go and we see this as a more common practice in college basketball, I think when a player does do this, you have to almost assume that they're gone and then feel lucky if you do happen to get them back. So, you know, all three of those guys, I would feel lucky if we got any of them, but do I expect any of the three of them to come back? Probably not.
No, I look, I would like Jordan to come back, but I don't think he's coming back. I would love for Iggy to come back, but Iggy's not coming back. And I knew Charles wasn't coming back. So, Godspeed them. I want them the best to happen for them. So when you read this, I don't know if you had a chance to read this. A
little bit.
Says that Jordan Poole, he's turning 20 in June. Good month, Jordan.
Still very young.
Yes. If he's looking at a G League sometime next year, mm-hmm. but his catch and shoot potential could continue to garner enough interest to get him drafted.
Is that not what I said all year? He's our best catch and shoot shooter, and yet we don't put him in any of those positions. But what do I know?
Yeah, what do you know?
No, he's a guy where, like you said, you've seen the flashes. I mean, if you watch him after that North Carolina and those Purdue games earlier in the season and you watch those, you say, oh, man, that guy looks like James Harden out there with those step-back threes. And, yeah, he's showing you some glimpses, but I think all three guys are going to be guys that would need some G League development or some time to develop before they eventually made it into the league. Just my opinion.
Right. No, you're right.
You know, in particular with the two guys, I mean, Iggy's 20 and Jordan Poole's about to be 20. So those two guys they're young. You know, Charles being a little bit older with him about to be, you know, still only 22. So
right.
It's not like he's that much older, but older than the other two players. You know, I think it's established where the two other guys they're going to need some time to develop, which, again, there's no shame in that. you've seen plenty of elite college players go to the NBA, get drafted, and then spend time in the G League. Not just like guys like DJ Wilson, who we were somewhat surprised to see him drafted that high. You know, you see a lot of NBA, a lot of players who get drafted spend time in the G League. So
right.
It's just kind of become a natural thing these days. A natural fit with the partnership with the G League and the NBA and the way that players can go back and forth. It's natural to see players develop there for a year or two.
No, yeah, you know, teams can check on you every now and then, see how you progressed. If they need an emergency player to come on the bench, they bring somebody up. So, hey, it works out for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good way of getting into the league. I'm amazed by this. I just saw. Did you see who was underneath Charles Matthews? That would be Ethan Happ.
I did notice his name was close over there.
I'm like, wow, Ethan Happ, 61? Okay.
He can't shoot. It's the NBA.
Well, they got him at power forward. He's not a center. He was a center at Wisconsin.
He's not quite athletic enough to hang with the centers. I don't know what
I don't know if he can handle with the power forward.
He's 7 feet tall, so I would imagine you got to play him at center now. But the problem is he can't shoot. Every team has guys that all five positions can step out and shoot these days. Most teams, of course, there are, you know, even our Detroit Pistons, Andre Drummond can't step out and shoot a three. But a lot of teams, all five positions, you can step out and shoot. And it's not he can't shoot the three-point ball. He can't even shoot like a free throw line jump shot, a 15-foot jump shot. So he's a tremendous talent with what he does, but he's going to have a lot of development that he needs to do to make it at the next level, which at this point, you know, you're a redshirted senior, so you're a fifth-year senior coming out of Wisconsin. If they haven't seen you develop things where they feel there's a lot of promise with it now, I would imagine that that's what's holding him way back.
Yeah,
ball. He's got great post moves, but most NBA teams don't play a post center.
Right. They don't throw the ball down. If they throw it down, they're gonna throw it right back out. If somebody moves toward, that's what they're looking
if
for. Somebody
you're an
to move.
Athletic center these days, it's like a Clint Capella. Like Tyson Chandler was really the guy who started the mold for the new center, where you're just a super athletic big man who throws down alley-oops and dunks and can get offensive rebounds.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You can
run the floor.
Yeah, and you're a great defender, but you don't throw the ball into the post. You know, it's not like 90s was really the last time I really feel like we had a lot of those true centers, or maybe through Shaq and somewhat in the 2000s. But, yeah, there's no really offenses in the NBA that are built around throw the ball in the post and let's work it out of the post.
No, not
even
anymore.
With the best centers in the NBA.
Sure. No, I agree. I completely agree. I don't. There's no big man that you would like to like. Let's develop a post game now. Let's kick it down low.
The last guy they were hoping was Dwight Howard, and that didn't really work out. So after that,
Dwight Howard, where is he at now? He was last I heard from him was it was Charlotte.
Yeah.
He got traded to Charlotte.
And he was sitting on that bench and he was hurt or something. I don't know, something was going on. But yeah, no, I haven't heard from him in a while. But he was the last big man that they tried to really turn into a legit big man, and they tried there in Orlando for a long time and it didn't work. And so yeah, eventually
he got Stan Van out of there.
Yeah. But now at this point, in a center comes into the NBA, they're not trying to turn you into a post center. You've got to be able to play inside and out. Or you're that, again, freak athlete like Clint Capella, who he's, you know, a prototypical NBA center these days, where I feel like, again, you play great defense, you block shots, and you throw down alley-oops.
Look, the only thing Capella got to do is just watch, make sure Harden doesn't miss a shot. Okay, he's watching most of the time.
But in a
play
guard
some
league.
Defense. He's watching most of the game. Yeah, okay. Here comes the ball. Oh, it looks like it's off. I'm about to throw it down. I mean, I get that you're in a guard league, but when you're with Houston, you're in a one player league, and whenever he decides to pass the ball, you gotta be ready and alert because you never know. I mean, what he went 1 for 15. couple nights ago? And they still won.
To start the game.
Yeah, they still won, but I'm just saying. I'm like, whoa. But they needed him, and Capella delivered. He did deliver. Not trying to dog him out. I'm just dogging out Houston.
Oh, listen, but Rudy Gobert is the same way with, you know, he does a lot on the defensive end too, but it's just centers today are not post players like they were traditionally as I was growing up or as you watch basketball growing up. That's just not.
There's no Kareems. There's no Robert Parrish. There's no Moses Malone. People probably don't even know who that is. Those people I'm talking about.
But even Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
Shaq. Which I imagine if he was playing today, could you imagine what he would do to these guys in the post? He'd eat them alive.
Oh, my God.
Score 50 points a game.
Yeah. And with Embiid throwing that shot, Embiid would get that shot from Shaq.
He'd get one thrown right back at him, send him about four rows back.
Just saying. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. But, you know, I still wish the three of them the best of luck, like you said, if the draft were happening. But now they got hopefully they go to camps, combines. And, hey, it only takes one. If you can make one team fall in love with you, it only takes one. We found that out with DJ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, DJ was nowhere on the list. Couldn't find him.
He was barely projected in the second round.
Why you gotta say that?
But he was.
He was.
When we were, he was maybe a mid-second round pick.
But they found him. And I'm glad we're talking about the draft. But I want to segue into the NFL draft.
Okay.
Now is the time before the draft actually starts.
Two days away.
Yep. This is when teams negatively talk about players.
Oh, yeah.
This is when everybody.
We got to break them down.
You beat them down.
We focus on every negative possible on things that they might not be able to do at that next level.
Because, look, Rashawn Gary had a great combine. He's had great interviews. He's done all kinds of great things. But all of a sudden, you see the switch that's coming around.
Mm-hmm.
Teams are saying, hey, we looked at film, went back and looked at film, and he didn't have as much production. For as big and as large he was, he didn't get to the quarterback against tight ends. He was great. Against other guys, it took him time to get there, but he got there. And then they brought up him being hurt. You can't, when a man's hurt, he's hurt. You can say what you want, but when he's at his top strength, his top time, he's a player. He's a baller. And when he gets to that level of the pros and he's getting that kind of coaching, I think he's going to be a great pro.
But how do you know that you're going to get that in the pros? From their perspective.
Let me say this. NFL. Okay, you know what that means, right?
Not full long.
Exactly.
But if there's, If an NFL team is looking, they say he was could have been either damaged goods or he wasn't out there when he could have been out there or things like that. They think if he's making excuses at that level, what's to stop him from making excuses just because he has all this money in his hands?
Exactly. That's let me say this. You just said the word money in his hands.
But we've seen guys. And every story is different. Every guy is different. But, you know, we saw Antonio Brown. He got paid, and now he's going off the charts. So you and I, and you're different because you're one of the guys who have lucky enough to been in those shoes. But we just assume that once an athlete gets paid, that they all of a sudden they fall into line and they do everything the right way, which is not always the case. But I feel like the general public expects an athlete once they do either get drafted or go to their professional sport that we expect them to be perfect, to not make any mistakes and think, oh, I am paid, so I need to work as hard as I possibly can. I need to do all the right, as you know, that's not always the case.
Rashawn has dreams. He has hopes. He's got things he wants to do. He wants to take care of his mother. These are things that he's put on his list. These are things. To achieve those, he's got to play football. He's got to have a good NFL career for him to keep making money. That being said, Rashawn Gary, look, do I wish he would? I mean, he was the number one overall recruit coming out of high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, but he played in a organized. They didn't turn him loose. He had to play disciplined football here at Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Look, they didn't say go get the ball in Rashawn. When the ball snapped, don't worry about your keys or anything. Just go get the ball. No, he had to play disciplined football. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you get hurt, everybody's got a different pain threshold. Just the way it is. I mean, they don't do what they did in my day, where they slip you a pill, they hit you with a needle. They do some things that get you going, where you don't feel that pain. Nowadays, kids are not, that's very admirable. Kids don't do that, which is good.
Don't do it as much.
Which is good.
Yeah.
That being said, there's still kids that I got to play. And they'll say, I'll do whatever it takes to get on that field.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, Ronnie Lott cut off a finger.
Still, that's the craziest thing I've ever.
Okay, so that being said, there's passion in everybody. What are you willing to do? Rashawn Gary played with that shoulder for 2 years. Where doctors have looked at it. I'm sure they've gone through it, looked it over. But teams that are interested in Rashawn will throw that out there. Are throwing that out there for camouflage. Oh, we're not looking at him. We don't want him. That kid's a top 10 pick. He's still a top 10 pick.
In terms of talent, there's no doubt about
right.
it.
Right. So that being said, just look. There'll be some schools. I mean, excuse me. There'll be some clubs that'll say, oh, we're not interested, and they'll move on.
Well, isn't it? It's so funny to me how I've heard not only from you, but from a number of athletes that have been drafted, not only in pro football, but basketball and some other sports, where they say the team that doesn't interview you
right.
or the team that doesn't talk
yeah.
to you at all, that's the team that ends up drafting you.
That's those are the teams.
Which, you know, that how does that make it?
Because they saw what they wanted.
Oh,
they've had enough. They've talked to the coaches. They've watched enough film. They have a coach that says, I can make him where he needs to be. They have that guy who believes.
But isn't it ironic that, yeah, it's the one team that doesn't interview. In today's world where we talk about every team that a player meets with. We talk
right.
about every coach that they interview with. And it's so funny how it's none of that really means anything most of the time because it's the other those are the teams that still have question marks about you.
Right.
Team
yeah.
that knows that they want you, they don't need to talk to you because they know that that's what they want. So it's just, it's ironic. It's funny. And today where we make such a big deal about all of those things, how most of the time doesn't mean anything.
Right. I met with teams on the West Coast, so many teams. Interviews flew out there. I'm like, wow, I'll be out on the West Coast. I'm
West
be
Coast,
doing
that
my
best
thing.
Coast.
All of a sudden, I'm drafted by the Washington Redskins. What?
Man, it's still cold there. It's a little warmer than here. But
No. That's the South. Don't you worry about that. That's the South. When you have a snowstorm here, that snowstorm stays around for a couple of days.
D.C., it's gone.
D.C., it's gone in a day, maybe two.
Still gets cold down there.
I didn't say it wouldn't. It gets cold.
Those January games, whoo.
Hey, it's warmer than those January games. Hey, y'all still under a roof. They still under the roof here. I'm just saying. Still nice. And don't forget, the team plays further south in Maryland. Just
True.
Saying. Think about it. You know where the Mason-Dixon line is, don't you?
We
always talk about this, don't we?
It's so funny. It's so funny how people still use it to reference things.
I don't think half the population knows where it is anyway.
Certainly not.
Not anymore. Civics. Read a book. My goodness. I mean, that should be the question of the day. Do you know where the Mason-Dixon line is? They're probably Googling it right now.
I'm sure a lot of people are.
My goodness.
But yeah, Jamie, we've got some exciting talks with the drafts. You know, drafts coming up with Michigan. We've got not only Rashawn Gary, we expect to go decently high, even though we've seen him in projections fall here a little bit as of late. But Devin Bush is another player that we expect to be.
Devin Bush is not. Look, at any team that needs a linebacker, they'll get Devin Bush. You could put the Devin Bush is on their on the board.
So would you take, if you had your choice, Devin White or Devin Bush?
They're taking Devin White. And then anybody after that. I think Devin White goes in the top five, top six.
Praying that he doesn't. Fall to number eight.
I'm just saying.
Fall to number eight.
And then.
Even though you still want us to take a tight end.
I just saw Joe Klatt just had the tight end from Iowa.
Yeah, I know.
JT, whatever. Yep. I can't, you know who I'm talking about.
I know exactly.
I'm just letting you know.
But I just want a monster middle linebacker. That's what I want for my line.
You just wait a minute. You got the kid from Florida 2 years ago.
Gerard Davis?
Yeah.
He's a good run sticker, but I'd rather play him on the outside and I'd rather have Devin White in the middle. If it was me running that Lions organization.
No one is gonna take another linebacker. Let me say this: who's somebody that gets the Lions did that a couple years ago when Matt Millen was running the show. Remember, he took three receivers, three straight years. Don't do that.
We're not worried. First off, Gerard Davis, we took him 2 years ago. We didn't take.
I said 2 years ago.
But a wide receiver, I think linebacker position is a little bit different than the wide receiver position. It's quarterback of your defense. And we've seen what the difference a stud middle linebacker, which Gerard Davis I think is good. He's a good run-stuffing linebacker,
right.
But I don't think he's an elite middle linebacker in the NFL, which I think Devin White could be. I think Devin Bush could be too.
I think Devin Bush, Devin White are two elite wannabe, I mean, will be elite players in this league. I think the Cincinnati Bengals are hoping that they could get either one of them. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers may move up to get one of those two.
Steelers are going to take one of the two.
I'm saying.
They need their next.
Right. So those guys are earmarked. I mean, you might as well just say they're earmarked.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, here's the surprising thing, because everybody's saying it. What if Kyler Murray
doesn't go number one?
Doesn't go number one. How far does he drop?
Oh, snap.
How far does he drop?
You mean like Bosa going number one instead?
I mean,
that's what everybody, until like a few weeks ago, he was clearly number one. No questions, ifs, and buts about it.
But as I said, as we get closer to the draft, there's all these negatives that come out. And you got that GM saying, I never said I was talking to him. I never said I was going to talk. You got Gettleman talking about, we're not caring about a quarterback. We don't care. We're going to draft what we need first. Okay. Well, I don't know if you saw the last few games of Eli Manning play. You need to draft what you need.
A quarterback.
Just saying. I mean, hey, you're the GM. You know better. But I'm just saying, bro, make a legacy for yourself. Don't make an idiot of yourself. Do the right thing. We need to go. We'll come back. We open up the phones. We want to hear from you. You're listening to the M Zone.